Hey, Brian, welcome to episode 30 of How Was Your Run Today?
I'm glad I've been invited. Thank you, Peter.
Hey, now listen, this episode is packed very tightly. So no messing about, my friend.
Let's move it along.
Well, I'll tell you why we're so...
Let's up the pace.
Tempo. This is a tempo run.
Running humor, you know.
Oh my gosh, enough of that. No, we have a very special guest, our first celebrity guest, Brian O'Donovan.
Indeed.
Host of A Celtic Sojourn, a radio program here in the Boston area that is on Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGBH Radio 89.7.
Or online. You can listen on WGBH.org/Celtic.
Yes, Mr. Brian O'Donovan, he's a radio professional. He's a real person. He runs, and he makes
us... His whole family runs.
His whole family runs, and he makes us look like a bunch of American dweebs, but...
Should we go right to it?
I want to get right to it.
Yeah.
I know the people want us to get right to it.
Yeah, he's waiting outside. I can see him.
But there's a matter we have to address very quickly.
What's that, Peter?
Hey, way back in episode 20,
mm-hmm.
we did a quick thing in between our Matt Damon and Muffin talk. We did a quick thing about expectorating while running.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can catch that around 14 minutes, 45 seconds into episode 20, should anyone want to go back into the archive. However...
Okay.
And I reference an associate of mine, a friend of mine named Sydney, and she didn't think it's okay. She says no.
Yeah, I remember this, and I dismissed her out of hand
you
very
did.
Quickly.
You did.
Nothing personal, but...
She's such
I think
a good,
I may have even suggested that she start her own podcast...
She, you Ban, did,
banning snot rockets.
You absolutely yeah. did say yeah. competing podcast throwdown. Go ahead. She's such a good friend of mine
yeah.
that here we are 10 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
She's finally gotten around to hearing the episode.
You know, only our mothers have listened to is keep up to date. You know.
So it quickly prompted her to write an email.
Mm-hmm.
So Lauren was booked. She's on a cruise in the South Pacific.
That means she's running around the deck.
She's running around the deck
in circles.
So she can't be here. So very quickly, I just wanted to read this note to you. Dear Peter and Brian, I just wanted to comment on something from episode 20. Peter brought up the fact that I think snot rockets are not okay. Brian shut it down right away, saying there was nothing wrong with it. And I applaud Peter for being open to discussing it, even though he practices it. Brian, on the other hand... wouldn't even consider it.
I am close-minded.
Think about it. When you blow snot out of your nose, it goes on the ground. Adults, kids, and dogs walk on that ground and step in your snot and bring it into their homes. Some kids and dogs may even roll in it. So you want some stranger's snot on your kid or your carpet or your couch, that's okay? Love, Sydney.
That is...
I've added the love. The love's implied, but she did sign her name.
That is such a disgusting image that... no, I'm not changing my mind. Here's what I'll say. I actually agree with all of
what... All of what she said is not...
She has to
it's
say.
Not wrong. It's not wrong.
It's
not
all,
wrong.
It's not wrong. It's all about the placement and where you do it, which is where I fire my snot rockets... It's going right into the curb or into the street. So if your kids are rolling around, and listen, your dog, that argument is not valid because your dogs are doing worse stuff in the same place where I'm firing my snot rockets. Do you know what
I
I'm saying?
I do, and I have
right
a whole
into the
thing.
Curb, right into the street gutter. That's where I'm firing, and I have pretty good aim. The dog is doing much worse
I'm with
there,
you.
And if your kids are rolling around the gutter...
I feel that I have to stay very neutral about this, because now I'm torn, because...
Well, listen, it's gross.
It
especially,
is disgusting.
I think it's more gross to see someone doing it. I don't want anybody to see me doing it. And it's gross to see other people doing it. It's necessary, but in terms of whether or not your kids are going to be rolling around in the street gutter, you know, I don't think that is a viable concern.
I think everybody is entitled to their own opinion, and everybody's entitled to their own. Here's the thing. I don't like being on the bus and seeing people clip their nails.
Ugh.
That's unbelievably gross.
Wow.
No, but that's...
I agree. That is gross.
But everybody needs to clip their nails. I hear you. Do it not there.
No, have a special room in your home or apartment.
Now, what she's sort of saying, if I may, is she's saying she doesn't want to see you ever do it. It's not
That's not at all what she's saying. She's saying she doesn't want to drag your germs into her house or have her children roll in your snot. It had nothing to do with it looks gross, which is my concern. It's disgusting. It's stomach churning to see someone else do it. But the probability of my germs landing via some feet or some clothing or some dog fur in your home is unlikely.
Listen, I love dogs. They're gross. They're so gross.
Of course, and think about what they're doing in the gutter.
It's so awful. I can't in the gutter.
So I'm adding a minuscule amount of germitude.
You're probably helping. And the kids these days,
the amount of Purell I've been guzzling lately.
And the kids
lately,
these days,
everything that comes out,
they don't have the buildup.
Antibacterial.
They don't have the buildup of the germs. I'm going to say that any given runner's phlegmage might help a kid beat the pox. I'll go up one more level. I don't think it's okay to be in a race and then turn and shoot it onto the other guy's bib. That's not cool.
That's absolutely
nasty. Before you do it, you got to give the look around. You got to decide where it's going. You got to make a conscious choice of where it's going.
You don't be a misanthrope.
I'm not.
Well, right.
But I'm also not going to then...
We live in a polite society.
I'm not going to then go...
Civil society.
...get my golden lab and drag it upside down through a river of marathon leftovers.
Yeah, that would be a bad thing
to do.
That's
a bad call.
It's a bad practice.
It's a bad call, Brian.
Don't train your dog in the street gutter.
Here's the thing. We're going to get another note in 16 weeks when she hears this episode.
Yeah.
So we'll be ready. In the meantime, thank you, Sydney, for the feedback.
Absolutely.
Can we move on to our guest? Because he really is the best. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go meet
Brian O'Donovan.
All right. Brian. We're joined today.
There's two Brians.
Hold on.
How are we going to manage this?
First off, I got to set the tone. You are our first celebrity guest, Brian O'Donovan. We've never had a major celebrity.
That's true.
Ever sit in that chair.
Major celebrity.
I'm going to say major celebrity.
I like the term that you used last week in the podcast and talking to that doctor, that sub-elite. I'm a sub-celebrity. Yeah.
You're a sub.
That's your
you're
celebrity
a sub-elite
status.
Celebrity.
I'm a sub-celebrity as opposed to a dom celebrity, right?
I don't know about any of that. But we're so thankful you're here, Brian O'Donovan of A Celtic Sojourn. Thank you so much for coming into the guest chair.
I feel honored to be here, guys. This is like serious. I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
The mic is making me nervous. I've done this for 35 years and you guys are making me nervous. You guys are celebrities. I understand there's a Franciscan monk that's following you guys and spreading the word around 3,500 communicants.
I believe that's right. Mr. Horan, Daniel P. Horan, Father Daniel P. Horan, liked us this past week on Twitter, which is wonderful. It's amazing.
It's amazing that he found us. And it's fantastic that he's spreading the word about HWIRT.
Well, he's a big runner. Yeah. So get out there and run. Speaking of that, Brian O'Donovan, how was your run today?
Well, it is early in the morning, so I haven't run yet today. But yesterday it was actually pretty good for a whole variety of reasons. I'm kind of getting back into running because I had a pretty bad year of injuries. One pretty significant, which was a running accident, actually.
Ooh.
But it was a simple, foolish trip.
No, nothing
has
hit you.
Has anybody out there ever tripped when you're running?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, but you know that trip when you know you're going down, but you try to prevent it? So I reckon I was like running like Usain Bolt by the time I hit the ground. You know, I'm sure it was a sight to see on Memorial Drive. Yeah. And honestly, I tripped, you know, foolishly didn't lift my legs high enough and it wasn't even any major impediment on the sidewalk, but I'm going down and I'm like trying to compensate and I just
arms go, windmilling.
Yeah, absolutely. It must have been spectacular. It would have been a sensational viral video, much to my embarrassment. But I did go down, you know, tried to roll by putting my shoulder out and absolutely tore my clavicle completely off everything.
Oh my gosh.
So now I've got a big bump there and rehab. And
what kind of season was it? What, was it cold outside, warm outside?
You know, it was that very bad, it was last March, so it was after that very bad winter of snow, which I ran through and
of
I was
course,
very
yeah.
proud of. No injuries. I use yak tracks in the snow. I quite enjoy it. And this was a beautiful March day with absolute clear pavement. So no, it would have been more, it was easier for me to say, oh, well, look at the winter that we had. But it was just one of those accidents that really set me back, and I don't wish it on anybody, but just lift those legs. I keep saying that to myself when I'm running these days, especially the older I get. Mm. I notice sometimes I graze, you know.
Yes, yep. I found myself doing that this weekend, actually. Yeah.
And so that set me back, and a couple of other minor things. So I'm just kind of clawing my way back and getting ready for the Brooklyn Half Marathon.
Oh, I was going to ask if you had Saturday. A goal race this Saturday. Fantastic.
So
wow
is right, and it's going to be a challenge.
Will you be our HWRT emissary for that race?
I will. I even might wear your very, very cool swag that you just gave me.
The shirts that we're kind of selling, that we haven't told anybody how we're doing that.
Just
you gave
us.
Me a shirt and you expect me to pay for it afterwards?
No, you're a guest.
Oh, thank
Guests
you.
Guests get shirts.
Awesome.
The general people out there who occasionally want a shirt, they have to leave money behind a rock. and then we run past it. And we leave a shirt for them.
No, money behind a rock or some money behind a ram. Either would work.
Rock or
I'm actually going to wear that shirt, though, in Brooklyn. Wonderful.
All you have to do is take a photo of... Yes. Someone has to get behind you and take a photo of you doing one of
these. I consider it done.
Thank you so much.
Are we Facebook friends?
We're going to be.
Have you got Facebook?
Yes.
Brian, you got a Facebook page,
Brian,
for this,
are you on
for
Facebook?
The show?
I don't know, but social media guru.
Anna Brooks, she'll take care of it.
I will post to my page.
Oh, yeah, well, you can do that. Or you can send it to us and we'll post it.
And a Celtic Sojourn, I'll tag you.
Oh, my gosh, you're going to put it on a Celtic Sojourn
page? Absolutely.
We're going to shut the internet down. We're going to overload the internet. It's so exciting. All right, let's go back a little bit. How old were you when you first started to run?
I was probably 18 when I started to run. I was in college, just about in college. Came here in 1976. Actually, I think I might have started to run here.
I was going to ask.
In the U.S. in 1976, we came here as students to New Jersey, to the boardwalk. And I think I started running. Extraordinarily, I smoked then a lot, actually.
Everyone
did. You know, being from Europe, being from Ireland, I sometimes joke, but I'm not actually joking, when I tell people I quit smoking after 10 years and I was 18. So go figure.
Oh my goodness.
It's actually true. And when I started running, I realized what smoking was doing to me, and I quit almost immediately and just continued to run. So I've been running ever since. Even though only in the last few years, have I been running competitively in my late 50s. Mm. When I say competitively, I run with Cambridge Sports Union, which is a wonderful, old, venerable organization in Cambridge.
So otherwise, were you an everyday runner or a 3 or 4 days a week runner?
I think I was probably a 3 or 4 days a week.
And that was your major form of exercise?
It was. It was for most of the time. Then I took up biking.
Okay.
And I do a lot of road biking and off-road biking.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the three things. Any kind of aerobics for me, and running particularly, was as much for my head as it was for my body.
Right.
And it keeps the blues away from me very effectively, actually.
Agreed, right.
And I'm a huge advocate for running for that, for head stuff. And particularly being Northern European, we tend to very, very, very much suffer from the SAD syndrome.
Absolutely.
And running is an absolutely effective, totally effective for me.
I agree with that.
Seasonal affective disorder, Peter.
Oh, I knew. I'm just sad. No, I understand. But I get it. No, but I've noticed in the 2 years that I've done it fairly seriously, in the first year to enter the marathon, it was very much for my body. I mean, it just changed the amount of weight that was on my body. Everything went away.
Even with those folded pizzas?
Even with the zombie pizza.
Strap on your feet bag.
It enabled
you. You really listened to last week's episode. But then this past 6 months, it's been much more from my brain, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may just be that my body's like, I'm done. You're not going to get any more weight off. But if I don't go, there's a problem.
Yeah. No, it really affects me. And sometimes you can drop out of that because that's the way kind of SAD or depression works. Mm-hmm. It can say, don't do this. It's basically like the little guy on your shoulder saying, don't bother, just stay in bed.
Feed me over here.
Exactly.
And feed your sad self.
But then exercise works the same way. If you do it
and
you keep doing it, you want to keep doing it.
Exactly. But it's sometimes breaking through that barrier whatever reason. And especially from what I was talking about earlier on, an injury can then, trying to recover from that, becomes doubly, triply hard because you're fighting that urge and you're fighting that little guy on your shoulder saying, "Yeah, don't bother."
You start running in New Jersey.
Started running in New
Jersey. On the boardwalk by the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What town?
That's exactly right.
Do you remember what town?
Point Pleasant Beach.
There you go.
How could I forget what town? It was like an episode of Dazed and Confused in 1976.
It's great.
The drinking age was 18. The women were like we've never seen in our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, we were 18-year-old guys coming from Catholic Ireland. Look out, New Jersey.
Why would you ever leave?
If the Franciscan is listening.
He is listening.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. He'll be fine. Have him on the show. Have him on your show.
I will, definitely. To make up for it.
And then do you move up to Massachusetts? Or hold on.
I have one musical question. Is this Bruce Springsteen? Area?
How close are you? My God. It's interesting, Brian, you said that. We nearly freaked because we were coming down. It's not like it is now. This is 1976.
Right.
So what we got our Americanism from wasn't like everyday news or internet or cultural. I mean, the cultural imperialism of America at that stage was largely through music and bad cop shows like Kojak.
You just used the word. You can't do that. We're going to have to cut that out.
He used a European swear word.
Slang. It's fine.
It's fine.
It is slang.
It's not so bad in the U.S.
No, it's not. It's the way you say it.
We're going to have to come off iTunes now. Thanks, Brian.
Getting back to that. So we are on the train from New York to New Jersey, and we realize that train goes through Asbury Park.
Oh, okay. You got to go.
And we like went, yay, we're in Asbury Park. We thought we were the coolest of all cool because Springsteen was huge in our lives at that stage. Okay. He was like personal heroes to us.
Mm-hmm.
We had listened to, to Springsteen probably for the previous, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
And so we were just absolutely amazed that that's the case. Yes, but Point Pleasant Beach is just below Asbury Park. And that's where we went for that summer.
That's great.
Wow.
That's great. So now, all right, so then you move up to the Boston area or do you
That was the first year of college. So I go back and forth a couple of years, but I fell in love with the U.S. that year. I absolutely fell in love with it. And I think I knew in my heart of hearts that I was going to live here. But we went back. I graduated from college in 78, University College Cork, and then went to London for a couple of years before eventually coming back here on July 4th, 1980, which then became... unintentionally, my point of leaving Ireland forever.
Wow.
And living here.
Was Independence Day intentional or just...
No, not really, but it just happened to be July 4th. I just remember arriving on July 4th and having my, I think it was called the I-90 or something like that. It was a form that got stamped and having it for years. I think I might still have it somewhere.
That's awesome.
And it was July 4th, 1980. A very pivotal time, as you can imagine.
Arthur Fiedler probably playing at the Hat Shell.
He most certainly was. Mm-hmm. Fiedler would have been. Even though I arrived back in New York and then made my way by train to Massachusetts.
Way to crush that story.
Thanks, exactly. I should have. I should have faked it.
Even though it's your story.
He was actually my cousin. That's the story we wanted. Yeah. Arthur Fiedler.
We were similarly hirsute, Arthur and I.
Now,
so does that mean you're wearing short sleeve shirts all winter long while you're running?
Why would you ask that?
You said hirsute.
Oh, okay, yeah.
First off, I'm the hairiest guy in this room.
That's what you told me. You were shaving your back for tattoos last year.
Wow, you really did listen. You didn't have to take notes.
No, I did.
Holy cow.
I listened carefully.
He's a radio professional.
So I'm assuming you've run in London.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Okay. Same thing. But again, just in the neighborhood.
We ran
regularly in London. It was great, great for, at that stage, we were in our 20s. Nothing was better for London hangovers.
Yeah, to get it out, yeah.
Absolutely, man.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that was an absolute requirement at that age as well. Another reason for running.
Squeeze it all out.
Yeah. As a world traveler, which you are, where's the best place you've ever put shoe to asphalt? Or trail. It doesn't have to be asphalt.
Interesting question. I would say Israel.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. There was this wonderful run. We did a lot of business in Israel in the 90s, in the early 90s, and rock and roll, actually. I worked for Bob Kraft at that stage, the Kraft family.
Never heard of them.
We had an international event management company called Gemstar, and we did rock promotions in Tel Aviv.
Okay.
We actually put on Madonna and Elton John and Guns N' Roses.
So small venues, nothing big.
Huge.
Small venues, yeah. Little coffee houses. But there was a great run from...
Corner bar.
There was a great run from our hotel in Tel Aviv, one end of the beach. Have you been to Israel?
I have not.
It's wonderful. Tel Aviv is an amazing place, very Mediterranean. You know, that's kind of very classic looking out on the Mediterranean. But there was one from a great run from there up to Jaffa, or Jaffa, as they call it, which is a beautiful little village, fishing village.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I just loved the idea that
beautiful
I was
beautiful and sort of dry, obviously.
Very dry. Actually, the beach was really nice to run on. You know, but, you know, you can't run on a lot of beaches. There's some Irish beaches that I can run on at home that are really good for running because they're absolutely rock hard sand.
Yeah, tight, yeah.
And this was really nice rock hard sand, and you had to cut it into pavement for a while, but then you ended up in this gorgeous little fishing village with great restaurants, and it was really, really fun.
Wonderful. I'm going to put that on the to-do list.
I've always wanted to go.
Running on the beach, I think it was St. Augustine, Florida has a beach like that. Miles and miles, and when the tide is out, it's like...
Hard sand?
Hard sand.
Nothing really like great. It. I just love running by the ocean when you can get the effect, the cool effect, and a little bit of moisturizing effect, really, as well. I just love
that. Although sometimes you can get absolutely blown back by the wind, and then you turn the other way, and you're running at 900 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Except in Ireland, I sometimes have the wind in my face both ways. Yeah. I can't figure it out, but it does happen.
It's a circular thing around the island.
Exactly. Yeah.
So modern day now.
Yeah.
When you run, do you have stuff in your ears? Or do you go quiet? What do you listen to, or if anything?
You know, I'm maybe a little embarrassed to say that I run with music.
Why are you embarrassed by that? I think that's fine.
I don't know. I think when people say, "Oh my God, you should really be in the moment and enjoy the birds and the bees and the scenery and listen to nature and be aware of where you are," I kind of buy that argument.
Yeah.
But for me, especially when I run distance, I tend to get bored a little.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah.
And it keeps me motivated to listen. And there are several aspects of that. I actually am a big fan of books on tape.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love literature, and Audible has kind of given me an ability to absorb far more than I do otherwise because of just a busy life that I don't get to read books. But when I'm doing an hour's run, I can cover a lot of a book.
Absolutely.
And I listen to NPR, of course.
Sure.
Give a plug for GBH on NPR.
Oh, yeah.
I love the app NPR One.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great app.
Really, I recommend it to anybody out there. And then I actually run... And I want to talk about this at some stage, my discovery as of 2 days ago of an app for running.
Because let's go for it. All right, tell us.
I love to run to rhythm. All right. I actually find it really helps my, you know, as a musical person, I play music, I love music, my life is music essentially. And I love to run to rhythm, to find the right beats per minute and then make them steps per minute and then to run to that to push me forward.
All right, well, this is the start of a new segment, Other Brian. I'm going to call you Other Brian now.
Okay.
I know you're
Brian
the first
with a Y and Brian with an I.
Oh, God. Other Brian. This new segment is called Let's App That Up.
We'll talk about that in our next production meeting.
Oh, we can't have that title? Let's App That Up?
Let's App That Up. Anyway.
Anyway, let's app that up.
Does he make such kind of, you know, independent unilateral decisions
like
that?
It's not my show. It's Brian's show. No, I just show up and he lets me be on it, which is
really
nice.
I heard that. You went to his birthday party and all the guests were saying, it's Brian's show.
I'm just happy to be indoors. So thank you so much, Brian. Let's app that up, though, Brian O. Tell us more about your new thing.
Well, again, I just love running to rhythm. So it's taken me ages to kind of develop certain songs. And, you know, I'll run with them and I'll say, oh, it's not quite fast enough. Or it's just a beat off or two beats off. And somebody introduced this app to me yesterday, and it's called Spring. And you basically, what you do is it has several different modes. One of them is that you run with it on your iPhone, and it'll detect the beat that you're running at. And then you will select what type of music you like, and it'll match the beats per minute.
Wow.
With a huge playlist.
Okay, hold on.
So it has access to a play. Is it accessing your Spotify playlist? Or
you know, that's
iTunes
a really interesting question. This is very new to me, but I think it possibly is accessing. Either it might have the same type of licensing system, or it's accessing my Apple Music.
Right.
Because I got it through Apple, but I haven't figured that out yet. Yeah. Now, so this is very new to me.
Interesting. Okay.
But it like really, really, if you look at this right now, and I'm showing it to these folks here, and it's asking me what I want to do. Do I want radio or a playlist? So I'm going to say radio.
So then it's going to pull
it. I've got it set at 190, for example.
Okay.
But you can change that by doing this. You can say 190. You can change it up.
So you can adjust it
manually. You can adjust it lower to 184.
I want this.
190.
So you can either set it or it will detect what you're actually running at that moment.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And it has workouts on here as well that'll go from, let's say, 164 to 184.
I was going
to
ask, is there a
way that you can... Yeah, you got to have a range, yeah.
Yeah, so... And then basically it you just go for it. You know, it starts it off and it'll do your... It'll take whatever genre. You can have hop, hip, pop, hip hop, country, classic, 80s, whatever. So here,
no, we can't. Going. No, we don't have the license for it.
You can fair use.
No fair 30 use.
30 seconds.
Fair use. Needle drop.
30 seconds.
Ugh, call the lawyers.
Peter's the most paranoid person I've ever met in my life.
It's Brian's show, so I don't care. He's the one who's going to be named.
Exactly. He's got the liability.
All right, so that's called Spring. And is it spelled the way it should be, or is it got like a hashtag in the middle of it?
No, just Spring. And it's a running app.
Running app Spring. All right.
And it is class. But I'd be interested in hearing from people out there. Do you guys run with do you ever run to rhythm?
I believe for myself that I need the beats. I need the music.
But do you run to the rhythm is the question.
To the rhythm?
Of the music.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's a different thing. It totally changes my cadence. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, but someone advised me last year, about a month before the marathon, you're going to really want to hear the atmosphere of Boston.
Yeah. No, I can imagine.
So I was doing all my long runs absolutely to music. Yeah. And then I would occasionally, like by hour two or three, I would change up to a podcast, then go back to music. Because then when you come back to music after a long form of audio talking, it's like being re-energized. It's great.
It totally is, yeah.
So,
I agree with you.
But then my last two or three long runs, like 18, 19, 22, 21 rather, I went totally quiet.
And
it was okay. I was able to do it. I thought I wasn't going to be able to do it mentally, but I guess I forced it on myself and said, get into this. You and I did some talking while we ran the long ones, but a lot of times we were just quiet. And it got to a really good place for me. So I ran Boston without.
But I can imagine Boston, Peter, must have like constant, just because of the size of it and the way it's structured, must have constant reinforcement going on, literally for 20
years. It's almost at points where it's oppressive.
Yeah, it's a double edge. It's a double edge. I want to shut it out. I got to focus now. You're saying my name because I've written it on my shirt, but you don't really know me. I'm crying.
You're screaming.
And I'm not crying because I'm happy. I'm crying because everything's terrible and I want this to end. And I'm on mile 4. You know, that's not really true, but I'm on mile 18.
But
and
the
I'm,
other 21 miles were great. The screaming and the yelling my name was fantastic.
But then I went back to music when I started to do it in the summer again, back to just build up. And then we did a nice half in October.
Well, it was nice for you.
It was nice for me because I threw music on.
Yeah, it was hard.
And I went much faster. Mm-hmm. It's the beats per minute thing. Yeah, I really do believe it. So I'm going to do New York with music. And I'll pop them out every once in a while. And I like to do that. I like to decompress.
Yeah.
And it feels almost really like I'm letting pressure out of my ears because sometimes the way the earbuds get stuck in there.
I have to pull them out. I don't usually run with anything. If I'm going for over an hour, then because I get bored, I'll listen to a podcast or I'll listen to a book. And then I'll turn music on, but only for about a half an hour because I think what happens, and this probably goes right to your point, which is I'm probably running to the beat, and then there's a point at which I need to slow down.
Yeah.
And so I have to take the music out. Otherwise, I'm just constantly pushing myself harder.
Absolutely.
And I need to do a little of that moving.
Well, this is why the app is really interesting to me, because it was up to finding this, I found it difficult to get the beats per minute right.
Okay.
So I literally had songs. I've got a 5K playlist, which actually times my 5K.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I'll know when extraordinarily one of the songs that has a really great beat, because it's such a depressing song, but it's got a great beat, is Springsteen's Streets of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
That's a terrific beat. So I'll know when that comes on that I should be at a certain stage in my 5K.
That's a good running song.
It is. It really is. And so you can run really, really well to that. But it'll time my 5K to exactly where I want to hit, about 21, 22 minutes.
Okay.
I can run very well to most Talking Head song, again, because the beat is there.
David Byrne, man.
Yeah, he cares.
He cares about runners.
I bet he runs.
Yeah.
Is there any of your audience on A Celtic Sojourn write in, say, hey, I listen to you while I run?
No.
Really?
I don't think so. No, no, I've never gotten that. They listen to, it's interesting because I do get a lot of feedback on it, and they listen to me while doing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Some of which we can't talk about, but they mostly is shopping at Stop and Shop or
and things like that.
Gardening. Yeah. Or
well,
cleaning.
I've listened to your show.
House cleaning.
I've listened while I run.
You do?
Yeah, because the music jazzes me up.
That's great.
It changes the whole scene. You know, it's like, oh, this is a different feel.
That's great. Interesting. I don't.
Have you ever tried to do it?
Never.
I mean, you can't because
I can't run to the Diddly D man. I
that's
I need
the official name.
That's my kids.
That's the original
title.
Called it. What? The original title of the show? The Diddly D.
Diddly D. Exactly.
Diddly D with Brian O'Donovan.
Yep. Oh, we went goodness. In a different direction.
All right. Now tell us about your training for Brooklyn that's coming up the half.
Ooh, wow. I mean, it's going to be a challenge for me because, as I said, I'm just getting back, but. You know, I was interested last week with your doctor who said, you know, listen to your body. Of course, everybody
Absolutely.
Says that. And I kind of did this time. So I've taken it really slowly, you know, getting back into 3-4 mile runs and then just ramping it up a little bit, but taking it every other day off.
I
found really works for me.
I think it's good.
And some biking as well. I do road biking. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll go like maybe 30 miles or 40 miles at a time.
Right.
And that really kind of gets up my fitness level. What I found it hard more than anything else is getting my just basic fitness back first.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And then getting the ability to run distance. So just on a couple of days ago, I did like 9.5 miles. And that was the longest I've run since my injury. And it felt... challenging, actually.
Yeah.
You know, 9.5 miles was challenging. So I'm a little nervous about 13.1. But I think the adrenaline will take, you know, Brooklyn is kind of like Boston. It's a big deal there. There's thousands of runners.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in a beautiful rundown, is it Ocean Boulevard? It ends in Coney Island.
That's right. Okay.
It starts in Prospect Park and ends in Coney Island.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty confident that I can do it. I won't do any time on it. Or
sure.
I'm just looking to do it and finish, and I'll be happy with that. But I do it with my kids, all 4 kids.
Oh, wow.
They all run?
Are all coming to two of them live in Brooklyn, wow. And one is coming from Colorado, and my youngest daughter just came back from Montreal. So we're all traveling down together. My wife is our cheerleader.
That's a big time.
And
that's going to be great.
It's a family thing.
That's wonderful. Brian?
I can't top that.
Yes, you can.
Yet.
No. Are halves your thing? Is that your biggest that you like to do?
Or? Yeah, I've never done a marathon.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with you guys that you've done marathons. I'm impressed with anybody who does marathons. I think I've gone beyond the marathon.
Yeah.
Not that I don't think I could do one, but for me, I'm 58 and I love to run and I love to bike and I want to preserve that for as long as I can.
Yeah.
So it's not doing the marathon, but it's just in order to do the marathon, the training that would be required to do it. Is what fears me.
Yeah, I think for me, I fell in love with the half,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing one a year, and I was really anticipating cranking it up and maybe doing 4 a year.
Yeah,
because it got me in the best shape without without really a big risk of injury, because it's not you're not putting in those huge miles, and it's not for me. It's all about time commitment. How much time do I have to put in either every day or every other day? Yeah. And what am I not doing because I'm running?
Absolutely.
So how do I what's the trade-off there?
I totally agree with you, Brian. And that's exactly my attitude as well, is if I can get to that level and remain injury-free. And if you're running pretty consistently and in consistent running shape, you can run a half. You know what I mean?
Totally agree.
You can just do it.
Yep.
And I would do like if in my ideal situation, I would do 3 or 4 per year.
Yeah, if you're running 3s and 6s on a regular basis, you can run a half marathon.
Yes, that's what I keep saying to people, especially if you're doing it on a regular basis. Right. What makes me a little nervous about Saturday in Brooklyn is that I just haven't been running as much. My general fitness isn't up to where I need it to be. But having said that, the other thing that changed me a few years ago, in addition to running with Cambridge Sports Union, in fact, before that, was I actually did some barefoot running.
Mm-hmm.
I was traveling from here, our studios along the river in Brighton, Alston, and I was traveling into Harvard Square.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was just walking, or actually I was biking, and there was a barefoot race. literally barefoot
just
race.
Happening right
along the
just
river.
Happening along the river. Somebody had organized it, and I was like absolutely fascinated with it. And I stopped talking to one of the stewards, who was himself a barefoot runner, and he was telling me the benefits of it. And I kind of researched it, and you know, Cool Runnings and all that you know, the theory. And I actually started running barefoot. Now, people said, where did you do that? And I said, in the city. We had moved to Cambridge at the time. And they said, you're crazy. That's like suicide. And I said, I just did it. I was extra careful looking at it. And I was fascinated with the concept. Mm. And I did barefoot running, you know, for a mile, 2 miles. And sometimes even coming back from a longer run, I would actually remove my sneakers for the last 2 miles.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really, really gave me a kind of an approach to running that I never had had before. Because I had had the usual injuries, you know, getting older, hip problems, knees were always bothering me. And I found that by barefoot running, I just was forced into that position of running on the balls of your feet.
Yeah.
And eventually I got kind of, you know, what are they called? You know, almost like track shoes. My sneakers had no heels.
The minimalist.
Minimalist, exactly. I never got into this kind of
five fingers
thing. They always look kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
But minimalist, and that kept me running on my balls of my feet. And then my last trip to Marathon Sports, plug, I suppose, who are very good on Mass Ave, because it's the one place that I found that allows you to run outside with the sneakers before you buy
before
them.
Before they force you to.
Yeah, they do.
You have to go. You have to show them how
to
run.
So kudos to them. I haven't come across that, and maybe there are others that do it. I'm sure there are. But anyway, they said you can go back now. Your form is such that you can go back to any sneakers you want, because you're still going to run.
So you use sort of your barefoot time to reset yourself.
That's exactly right. Now, I don't run barefoot now, but it helped me reset my running style. And I found when I do that and when I did that, that I can run distance for the first time in my life. I could run.
When you were younger, what would you do? Would you do 3 or 4 at the most?
Absolute maximum. And I didn't really run races you know, at all, but I would do 3 or 4, and I would regard a 5 mile run as a really long run. Whereas now when I'm up to fitness, I regard like I would miss, you know, not doing a 10 mile run at least once
a
week.
Sure, absolutely. Right.
So that's definitely a big change in me.
Wow.
That's interesting. I try to get my shoes off when I'm at home just for that reason. You know, if I'm outside or inside, either one, just make sure I'm spending as much time barefoot as possible. But I haven't done road running or sidewalk running or whatever barefoot, just because I don't want to puncture my foot.
Well, there's that, especially running in Cambridge. But you were surprised these days. I think back a few years ago, back in the 70s or 80s, I don't think you could have done that, because just there was a general sense of
broken glass everywhere.
Broken glass, exactly.
Garbage,
broken glass. Like cities, really, if we think about it, how lucky
so
are
much
we?
Cleaner than the
human bones, just sort of.
Oh my God. You know, the other thing that I love to advocate for is the running groups and the track workouts. That really is huge for me.
Track workouts? Is this with your running club?
Exactly. And there are many others around. I know there are many in many towns, but in Cambridge alone, there's Cambridge Runners, CRA, and then there's Cambridge Sports Union, which I went to. And they do track workouts.
Yep.
You know, on Tuesday nights, we gather at the Harvard track in the summertime and are in the good weather. And they just organize, you know, pacing. And it's really such a different thing. You run with people of your own level, but it really pushes you to get some pace in. It's a very different thing, and it's social, of course, which is good to begin with. And then they go indoors to BU. We pay for that. To BU's track in the wintertime.
So you do it year round.
Yeah.
You keep it up always as part
I do. I don't do it as often as I really want to do it, just from a time standpoint. But when I do it, I go, oh, this is just amazing.
Peter and I did Yassos. Are you familiar with those? Those are half-mile sprints with quarter-mile, basically light jogs or walks in between. Okay. And you work up, I don't know how many I finally got up to, maybe 7 intervals. You're supposed to do up to 10.
That's a serious workout.
Serious workout. And there's a whole way that you figure out what your half-mile is supposed to be based on what you want to run your marathon.
Okay.
And it forces you. And we did them because we were training during that horrible winter on the treadmill, which you can't slow down.
You guys like treadmills?
No.
I don't like them at all.
But they're an alternative when you can't go outside, there is no sidewalk. Yeah. And actually, I would have to say that the speed workouts were okay on the treadmill. It was the only way I could actually do it without going a little nutso.
But they're made for doing it on the treadmill.
Yeah, I did a few of them, though, on the track. I'd go down to the local high school and run it. But it also gets boring by yourself. So doing it with a group would be ideal.
Absolutely, or even with one other person. You know, I find that as well. I mean, quite frankly, in the track workouts, if there weren't people there, I would quit. Every time I start them, I kind of go like, you know, because you're running speed around the track. And I go, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah. Right.
I feel lousy. Mm-hmm. But being with other people, they'll keep you it up. They'll come on, do another one.
Yeah, but then when you go for a run 2 days later,
you
feel the strength right there. You've each time I felt better.
Absolutely.
On my next long run. Well, I do another thing. I play Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh, really?
At least once a week. And
it's great cross training.
It's great cross training, although I have to say my marathon training and the training I did leading up after that, where I really pushed myself and wound up injuring myself, it's an inverse relationship, distance running and ultimate frisbee playing, because my joints can't handle both activities.
That's a lot. Different. Yeah,
so eventually different. I may crank it right back down to just half marathons, because it's too much to do cutting and sprinting interwoven with, you know, 15s and 17s, because I don't get the recovery time.
Well, it's always been disappointing to me when I'm on the peak of fitness and biking and running fitness, and then I go home to Ireland and we have a pickup soccer game, and I can't walk the following
right,
day.
Right, you're wrecked.
And I go like, oh my God, I am so not in that shape.
You're cardiovascular, though. You can play all day.
Exactly.
But the next day, you can't.
It's that cutting.
I picked up the cat the other day, and I thought, I got winded. She's like 9-10 pounds.
That's a big cat.
Yeah, no, she's not really at all. You know, this Brian is going off to Millinocket, Maine for a marathon in December.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to have room
Millinocket, Maine in December?
Have,
are you serious?
Exactly.
Is this like the equivalent of...
It's a free marathon.
Is this the equivalent of Shackleton or something like that?
I think so.
It's a reenactment. Well, there's going to be room in the stands. Do you want to be...
There may be some room
with
in the
HWIRT section. We can reserve you a seat. Would you like to come?
Yeah, Millinocket, Maine. Do they have a microbrewery? I bet they
That's
do.
That's a good question. I bet they do.
I think they have several restaurants.
In December, what are they thinking? This is great, though. I love the idea of it, but it's kind of
wacko. It's a fundraiser for the town. Actually, just yesterday, the race website, what happened was the organizer, Gary Allen, organized it. He runs the Mount Desert Island half and full marathon every year. He lives in that area. And last year, he brought a bunch of people up. Well, actually, it was more like 40 people to run it. Millinocket is a mill town up in northern Maine. And the last mill closed, paper mill closed, and they're just hurting. They don't have any other industry except
recently it closed?
Yeah, a few years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, the population has been decimated. And
Is this on the part of Maine that juts up into Canada?
Correct.
Like Madawaska or something?
Pretty far up there.
Yeah, yeah. The cold part, Brian.
The cold
part.
Speak
French, don't they?
We.
Literally within view of Mount Katahdin. That's how far up it is. And so it was a great event. And so he said, let's do it again next year. I think probably thinking maybe he'd get 50 or 60 people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Runner's World picked up the story, ran an article. The next day, or within a week, there were 1,000 runners, including yours truly. And the whole idea was, we'll put on a free marathon, we'll get some volunteer support, and we'll just fill up the hotels for the weekend and the restaurants, and it'll be great. And I don't think anybody envisioned 1,000 people showing up to run, or what it's going to take to actually pull off this event. But I know the other reason I'm going is I know two guys that grew up in Millinocket, and they're running it. And so, you know, there's a social aspect.
Then it explains it. This is great.
I'm also intending either to have to come back on a moose, dragged in by wolves, or on a snowmobile. One of those is going to happen.
It'll probably be 52 degrees it could that be. Day, right? Like, I mean, who knows?
Right.
And it could be with the screwy way the weather is going. But it could also be, I mean, you know common predictions would say that it is going to be snowy. Does it intend to go on if it snows?
I don't think there's anything that's going to stop this race. So
so we're going to do a live remote.
And we'll do by me.
We're going to do a satellite hookup.
Actually, that's an interesting concept to begin with. I'm just thinking of this, like, that probably would be an attraction from a Runner's World type audience to say this event will go on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even absolutely. If it's like a really heavy snowstorm, a blizzard, or 52 degrees, as you said, no matter what, this is what we're doing. That's fascinating.
I think people who live in northern New England aren't really put off by some snow if they're training for a marathon.
No. No, definitely not. No, I've seen runners out when, you know, using those yak tracks. Mm-hmm. Have you guys used yak tracks?
I do only when I absolutely have to. It affects your running cadence.
I'm dying to try them because I've heard.
Some... It does definitely. I only do when I use yak tracks. I'm just getting out for the air. You know what I mean? As we talked in the beginning of the program, you know, when I need to get out in the sunshine and there's a lot of snow around, I'll use yak tracks. I'm not expecting to do anything other than just get out for exercise.
But they strap on any running shoe.
Yeah, absolutely. They just like pull right over it. They're just, but they do work. But what you find yourself doing is in those times when there's a little pavement and a little snow, you find yourself seeking out snow to run on because they actually
are really going to hold.
Yeah, and they actually become problematic sometimes on smooth pavements, especially the bricks of Cambridge. That can be a real problem. But I can imagine in the marathon, you're describing, you better bring a few pairs.
You should just have them.
I might just wear my Sorels.
I say go barefoot.
Oh, that's an opportunity.
So he's doing that about 2-3 weeks after.
Good for you.
I do. I'm running the New York Marathon.
You are.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My son and his wife are doing that as well.
But they're probably, let's be clear on this. Uh-huh. They've probably qualified.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, I see. That's what I'm saying. I'm buying my way in through a lovely charity. I'm helping support Children's Hospital here in Boston, and they mount a small team that goes down.
Good for you, Peter.
But
how many marathons have you done?
This will be my second.
That's right. You did Boston 2 years ago, 1 year
ago?
No,
just, well, one past, yeah.
One past.
Yeah, just last year. Peter and I decided to take on something that we're calling the circuit. So we're each running a 5, a 10, a half, and a full this year.
Okay.
And both of our marathons are late in the year, which made it seem possible, and now we're really regretting this entire decision.
So I think of myself as
our training doesn't even start till the end of August.
I think of myself still as a very beginner level, right? So I did, a year ago, I did a half in the fall, then I did the full in Boston in the spring, then I did a half last fall, and so now I got nothing. So we just did the 5K, we're going to do a 10K next month, mm-hmm. back to a half, and then another full. So within 18 months, I'll have done kind of a lot of races for me. I hate races. To go back to our earlier discussion, I can't stand races. I don't get anything out of them whatsoever.
I love them as well.
But I love training for them.
Yeah.
Because I need a goal. If I don't have a goal, I've said before, if I'm off on my own recognizance, I'm on the couch with a box of Cheez-Its. So for real, I won't ever think about it. But if I, for the second I put pen to paper or keys to a keyboard and
you've commit, made the commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way as well to have runners continue to be motivated.
Yeah.
I think going towards that goal, whatever that goal is. But I also think the consistency, what I find is really good these days is that the number of events that you can participate in,
it's unbelievable,
has proliferated dramatically.
Any given week.
You could take like 5K, 10K every single week.
Every single week.
There's running by the river here. I think there's 5 per year usually. There's some construction going on, so I think they've dropped it down to 2.
Yeah.
But they're on Tuesday nights or Thursday nights.
But you could go to
nights.
Any suburban town around mm-hmm. Boston and run a 5K almost absolutely. Every weekend.
You can. And I find that's really great. Our club as well, CSU, does a wonderful ad hoc at 10 a.m. run around Fresh Pond every Saturday.
Oh, really? Okay.
You can do, you know, it's like 2.5 miles mm-hmm. around. Mm-hmm. So you can do that once or twice. Mm-hmm. And you're running against all levels of runners and they time you. No, and that's every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. You can get your run in, a little bit of competition, and around a beautiful place.
I'm fascinated by the club thing. What made you join? At what point did you say, I want to join this?
I think because I wanted to kind of like start getting a little bit competitive with myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I wanted to say, okay, well, you know, I've been running by myself for ages. How much more can I get out of it? Can I get a little speed work in? Mm-hmm. Can it make my body feel different if I do that rather than the humdrum of just running.
Did you mm-hmm. join before or after your injury that you're recovering from?
Before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't part of your recovery. You made this switch.
No. In fact, I haven't gotten back as much because of that injury. And when I have gone back, I'm just not up. There are some very elite runners in this club, and they go off in a pack, and then there's a next group, and then there's a next group. And I would run in the middle group of that, but I found that I couldn't run in the middle group of that as I was coming back. So now that my fitness is back, and after I see how I do in the half marathon, I'm definitely looking forward to going back on Tuesday nights. And it's just, again, the rhythm of showing up at a particular time.
Peter, they'd have to make a new group for us, I think.
basement elites. The basement non-elite. No,
you just take elite right take out of it. Just the
word elite
runners.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah, basement runners.
We can
no
strike
reference
that.
To elite.
Yeah, just sort of, hey, the other guys.
Yeah.
That's right.
The other guys that pay their dues.
I've noticed that many of our listeners who've been very active on social media and have been responding to the clarion calls that we've been putting out on Saturday mornings.
They run a lot of races.
They run a lot of races. They look pretty elite to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're listening to this show, but I'm so glad that they are.
Thankfully, they are.
Well, I think people like to talk about running, and sometimes they don't know what they're doing until they hear a little bit about it. So, you know, that was very interesting last week, you know, the advice that she had, and what an interesting person to begin with. She sounds like a Renaissance woman.
She's great.
But the issues of nutrition, the issues of...
Oh, yeah.
Recovery, all of those types
hydration,
of
hydration, stretching, you name it.
Stretching. Are you guys good at stretching? I am terrible. That's the one.
I'm embarrassed by it. I only do it after. I don't do much before.
My son spends, like, he says that it's the most important thing that he does, and he runs a lot, and is a very competitive runner, and like he laughs at me when he sees what my stretching regimen is. I'm just impatient. What happens
right.
is
you want to get going.
Yeah. I want to get going, and it's something that I really have to get better at.
I do a lot of stretching at the end of the day, as part of a sort of like come
even
down.
Even separate from running.
Separate and apart from running, I have to stretch everything out, and then I go to bed. I can't just get into bed. I got to really do have to stretch a lot of it.
Do you find that helps your sleep?
Mm-hmm.
I find it helps my sleep a lot.
I had been running into a situation when we were doing less mileage and more spin class, indoor spin class, where in the middle of the night, I would wake up and my feet, my ankles, I was really clenching them and tightening them up and doing a thing. It was in relation, I think, to some calf issue, right?
Yeah.
And since I'm on a new thing now for the month of May where I'm running every single day. So I'm,
10 days you had done last week.
I'm 17 in now, so here we go, right?
That's right. I'll join you
today. I've had no issues while I sleep. So clearly something was going on with the cycling and not the mileage.
That's interesting with stretching before bed, though. I might try that.
You should try it.
Yeah.
I also, not to be a medicine junkie, but most times if I'm doing anything over a 4, I take 2 Advil before I go.
Before you go?
Before I go.
Yeah, I sometimes do it afterwards. After a long run, like the half, I will take some afterwards.
Mm. I try not to do too much because I don't want to... I actually do want to feel it. I want to know.
Yeah.
Hey, what hurts? What doesn't?
Yeah.
And I've been, knock on wood, very lucky. But good. We'll see. You'll see. But like you say, watch your feet. Get your feet up. That is no joke. I'm a toe scraper occasionally, and it doesn't take much to go down.
No, and you go down hard, man. Oh, you really go
down. You don't see
hard.
It coming.
It's happened to me about 3 times in my life, and the other 2 times, you know, you get up and you say, am I okay? And the other 2 times, I was fine.
Yeah.
You know, I scrape a knee or something like that. But going down hard like that, but man, did it pop my clavicle, and that really was not something I would wish for anybody. It was really painful and hard to recover from.
Well, we'll let you get back. We know you have to prepare for your show. And your big run.
The Diddly-D.
Good luck on the Diddly-D run, too.
Check out that app, Spring.
Spring.
So let me ask you
a question. Are you a financial backer of Spring by any chance?
I am not. I'm not. I could be. I should be.
You should be.
But I've got to tell you, yesterday was the first time I used it.
Yeah.
And I am just absolutely fascinated by it.
Revolutionary, you say.
So we've
think it's run-changing, life-altering for me. Anybody who's into rhythm for running is the key
thing.
I think
this interview has been life-changing for me.
So we've learned about Spring,
oh my God.
The rhythm running app,
oh my God.
Brooklyn Half Marathon, 5 O'Donovans taking over Brooklyn, storming in, running the race. We've learned about...
He's the reason why Bruce Springsteen's a jogger.
That's right, exactly.
That's why. We learned about the right kind of...
Why the Streets of Philadelphia is a great running song depressing
theme. I
absolutely
do run to that song. It's true. We've learned about what the right kind of beach is to run on.
Do some barefoot running.
To reset yourself.
Try it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to Millinocket.
Everybody knows that.
I'm going to New York. But not now. Thank you.
NYC, Millinocket, man. These are great destinations for running.
We hope to see you
after, come, please come back.
I'd be glad to be back anytime. I'm in this building, and congratulations to you guys for doing something like this. It's really good. I'm going to spread the word. When this is up, we'll be tweeting and Instagramming.
Do you Instagram?
I have done.
I just opened my own account this past week.
Peter, then we're going to have to be sure to leave some of this interview in the show and edit it all out.
Do you know about coming up? Do you know about coming up to our thought platform?
No, I don't. But it sounds very interesting.
Well, that's when we all decide on something. We're having a shared thought platform.
Okay.
And you, how do we get there?
Do you know that could be a new form of social media?
The thought platform?
Yeah.
The TP?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, don't call it that.
that's already taken, right? Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to have been with you guys.
We'll see you. You can catch Brian O'Donovan every weekend. What's the time of the show?
3 o'clock to 6, WGBH 89.7, or online at wgbh.org.
What day of the week?
Saturday afternoons. Before Garrison Keillor and the Prairie Home Companion.
It's awesome.
It's a great slot. We love it.
Well, thanks again for making time for us, and good luck in Brooklyn.
And you guys, good luck with all your training for the marathons, and looking forward to Millinocket, a snowy Millinocket.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll save you a seat on the bus on the way up.
Brian, have a great run today.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, this has been episode 30 of How Was Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. Thank you to today's guest, Brian O'Donovan. Listeners, please contribute to the show with your questions and comments. For email and social media links, go to our website, howwasyourruntoday.com. Get this podcast every week on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you collect podcasts. Brian O'Donovan keeps them with his Bruce Springsteen records. But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked. And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free and easier than running to the diddly D. Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
Have a good run today.
Diddly D will.
Brian, what do you have to plug today?
Yeah, do you have anything to plug?
Nothing. I'm just doing the, I'm coming back. Oh, I have something to plug. I do have something to plug.
We won't use any of this.